studying whatever they're doing, but English is kind of a requirement.
Right.
And still, you're never going to run out of work teaching English in Japan.
Right.
Most people can't speak English over there. So.
It's like when I was in China, some of the cities you go to that have English corners, and you'd go down there and, there'd be 20 or 30 people standing around all wanting to speak English.
Yeah. And
it was hilarious. I had a good time. I mean, I was in this one town, in one city of Chengdu, a couple million people, and there's all these, there had to be 100 people in the street corner, and there was all these doctors, there had to be about 50 or 60 doctors. There was a conference in the city, and so all these doctors were down there, and they were all, it's intense conversations with all these people. And, I thought, what am I going to offer to the conversation? So I started joking, right? Because they're all standing around you, waiting for you to say, they're staring at you. So what I did was, when the next guy would come over to our little circle, I'd look at him and go, Frank, where have you been? We were supposed to meet for lunch today. How come you didn't show up? And I'd walk up, give him a big handshake, and, pretend he's like my long-lost brother. And everybody knew I was going to do this, and they would just start roaring. And then he'd go, I don't know. Not Frank. And then go to the next person, do the same thing, and it was just hilarious.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
should see that on tape.
Well, everybody else was talking, all these doctors, abortion or stiff. Surgery tech. It's like, come on, lighten up, guys. You're standing on a street corner in China. They just want to have some fun. They're just kids.
Well, the cultural difference between Chinese and Japanese, that's to their benefit. They do that, but the Japanese are very reserved.
Right.
Extremely so. And in class, it's hard to get them to say a word often,
right. Right.
And so they have these, in China, they do these speaking on the corners, and they just surge ahead learning the language, But in Japan, that's a big part why a lot of them are so far behind, because they just never bother to work on it,
In that, see, the Japanese or the Chinese will repackage it and sell it back to us.
Yeah. The Japanese, they memorize a lot, so they know a lot of vocabulary.
Right.
But
right.
It's just putting it into use is another story,
Right. Traveling's always fun, though. It's always
That's where they learn, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you find out about Salt Spring Island?
Well, I've always loved the West, originally from Toronto way back when.
Right.
And
well, your dad still lives in Toronto, you're telling me.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
And but I came out the first time out West. My mother had a conference, and so she had a colleague she was going with, and they decided to drive out. So, I came along, and we drove through the States out to, and then into BC, and then back through Canada. But I always wanted to see the West, and I guess I just fell in love with it at that time. So it's always been my home, really,
Right.
To come back. And I've been through Katimovic. Some people out there might know about Katimovic,
That was back in the, when was that, in the 80s?
It's still happening today. That they started up again a few years back.
What was it? I can't remember. It was a youth thing,
A youth program, yeah.
Right.
And I did it in 1979 and 80.
Right.
And it's for 9 months, and you spend 3 months in three different provinces.
Right, right.
And one of those provinces was BC, and people we met in BC in our group, I got to know some people, and I came out and was visiting a friend on Hornby Island.
Right.
After that, and I did spend some time living on Hornby, and I got a job helping an artist build a house, and so that was kind of my first taste of island life, Hornby. And so I've always kind of enjoyed the islands, and then Hawaii, of course, and islands in general. I just seem to gravitate to. Salt Spring is a good one.
Well, and then you went from Tofino, and then all of a sudden you decided to sell. Why did you sell in Tofino and not build another place in Tofino?
Well, it's just kind of a
depressing community.
It's far out there, if you want to come in for supplies,
it's the amount of rain they get.
Well,
they get like 11 feet per year.
I don't know the statistics.
I know. They get a ton more than we do.
Well, when it falls in the winter, it falls hard and fast, and it comes in sideways.
And that fog that they get in the summer is really brutal, too. The morning fog.
That's true, yeah. My neighbor calls it fogust.
Fogust.
Yeah.
I went fishing over in Ucluelet a few summers ago with a friend of mine who used to live on the island here. He's since deceased, Darren. Mm-hmm. And we had sweaters on, toques on. I actually went by the little the co-op. Now, what's this? Yeah, there's a little co-op store right in Tofino and bought more warm clothes. It was so cold there. We came back to Salt Spring. As soon as we hit Vesuvius, or as soon as we got on the Crofton Ferry, I'm like, oh my gosh, winter's over. It's summer again.
That's true. It's
cold over there.
Yep.
I couldn't believe how cold it was.
I guess it's pretty removed, you know. It's a 3-hour drive.
I just want you to say it once. Salt Spring's so much nicer.
That's right.
It's so much better. Don't ever think about moving to Tofino. It's awful.
And, you know, you've got the three ferries. You can go three different directions. But you're in a rural community, but you got the city if you want it. It's a ferry ride.
Salt Spring's very connected. It's a good central location.
It is, yeah.
Not that I ever leave the island, because I hate leaving the island, but it's very, if you do want to leave and go off the island, I mean, where Tofino, you're a long ways out there.
That's right.
That road is, like those poor two paramedics that just died recently, that is a hideous road.
It's a long haul, you know. Yeah, when you're living there, it just becomes part of your life, you know. Here are the ferries, but, you know, it's
like a 2-hour drive into Port Alberni, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, it is, yeah.
And then when you get there, you're like, oh my God, now I'm in Port Alberni.
It's certainly a beautiful place, too, but I think from now on I'll just visit. You know?
Just visit. Well, how many people live in Tofino?
It's... the full-time population is just over 2,000.
Oh, okay. So it's smaller in Salt Spring.
Yeah. But certainly it balloons to thousands in the summer. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you get to... I found that last time I was over there, I was just looking at people in the street. You'd get these super high-end tourists staying at the Wickenish Inn, mm-hmm. and then you'd get the beach bums that are surfer dudes hanging out. I mean, real combination of people there.
Hey? Yeah, there sure is. Yeah. But,
I mean, most of our tourists are kind of the same, 55 years old, they want to do the studio tour.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a different crowd there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, surfing is big there. Of course, the guy who bought my house he's a young doctor, and he's a surfer. That's one of his main reasons for practicing in Tofino. But they need the doctors out there, too, so it was good for him as well.
Yeah. Well, we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and we'll stop slagging Tofino. We'll be right back with Radio Real Estate, Scott Simmons, and guest Carrie Bell. We'll be right back on Radio Real Estate.
The wheels and the bus go round and round all through the town.
When you see a school bus on the road, be prepared to stop quickly. Flashing yellow lights are your first warning. Flashing red lights mean kids will be getting on or off the bus, and you should stop, even if you are on the opposite side of the road. If you break the law and injure or kill a child because you were impatient or distracted, there will be dire consequences for you and your family. Pay attention. Watch for school buses and stop when they stop. A message from the School Bus Information Council.
Let's go straight into spring. I'm Dr. Richard Hayden, and no, we can't skip winter. But with short-term adult orthodontics, we can have your teeth beautiful and straight by spring, or have you well on your way with Invisalign, invisible braces. Call for complimentary consultation and receive free tooth whitening with any case started in November or December. If not for you, why not give the gift of a dazzling smile? It's Dr. Richard Hayden, 250-537-1400. We have a smile just for you.
And we're back, Scott Simmons, Salt Spring agent for 1% Realty Vancouver Island. And we're a radio real estate show today. We're just kind of shooting the breeze with Carrie Bell, island hopper extraordinaire who's lived in Japan, bought a house in Hawaii, Churchill Road, and a couple other places on Salt Spring. You had a house out on Sunset Drive.
That's right, yeah. I've been here now almost 2 years.
That was a good deal. You bought that house on Sunset.
It was. Yeah.
And how was that realtor to deal with?
He was great, yeah.
How good was he? Tell everybody.
He got me a good deal there, yeah. It was good because I phoned you.
Right.
And just so everybody knows, you're the one I bought it through. And
I think people could figure that out. It wasn't Tom.
That's right. Okay. But I saw that property on the internet.
Right.
And because I was in the process of selling my place.
So you looked on what was that called? The what?
The internet.
Is that new, or is that how do you find the internet?
Gee, I don't know. I guess.
So you went on a thing called what? The internet.
The internet. Yeah, there you go.
And do you think people mostly search for houses on the internet?
I think that's the way it happens these days.
You know, because, I'd say everybody searches.
Yeah, I mean the MLS is great.
And
MLS
it's all online now.
Pardon me?
It's all online.
That's right. Yeah.
So you didn't come here first and then go to a real estate office and say, oh, I'm here to buy a house. So I've got this amount of money in my pocket.
Exactly. Yeah.
People do all their searching online.
Yeah.
Everybody searches online.
Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I'd be buying here because I was thinking of other spots as well.
Right.
You know? But I saw this one property and it had been, it was before I actually sold my place. But everything just fell into place for me. But I had talked to you about this property that I did buy.
Right.
And it had been on the market for a long time, and the way the market was going then, I guess she listed her place when she could have got a good dollar for it, but she went too high.
She overlisted.
Yeah, and then
severely
she brought it down.
Overlisted.
But you know, the market was dropping faster than she was lowering her price.
Exactly. And that was the problem. She was chasing the market down.
That's
and
right.
She had overlisted, I don't want to say with who, but she'd way overlisted at the peak of the market,
right.
Missed the peak. If she had been a little bit reasonable in 2007, 2006, she would have walked away with $600,000+.
That's right. That's right.
She was asking like $800,000 for the place.
And I got it for $410,000.
Yeah. I mean,
so
amazing.
It was a bargain. And but that's a good point for people that might be listening that are selling. Because I think everything I've sold under, a little under what it could go for. And that gets people's attention, you know.
But you sell it fast.
I do. I sold it, and I wasn't stuck. So it's better, you know. It's better not to be stuck, and you're onto something new, you know.
Real estate's liquid if you market it at the right price.
That's right.
If you put it too high, it just sits there and languishes on the market. Then everybody thinks, oh, there must be something wrong with the house, and it's stigmatized,
right.
And it never sells.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not a hard concept, but it's surprising how few people can figure that out.
It's the old cliche, a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. You know?
Well, and it's the opportunity cost of getting the money. Because once you sell that place, and even if you sell it for a little bit less than you could have got, maybe theoretically, you have the money.
Yeah.
And then you can use that money to buy the next place.
And there's always somebody who's had something listed for a long time, and so you can generally get a good deal from someone who finally wants to lower their price.
Right. And now you prescribe to the method of you buy kind of fixer up or do some work to it,
fix it up,
and then like you didn't just buy it, keep it, and sell it. You actually did a whole bunch of work on the place.
Yeah, except for the Hawaiian place, I didn't get over doing
right.
it. But it was in pretty good shape anyway.
Right.
But that's right. I a little sweat equity in there, and you can improve the value substantially. And things like putting in hardwood floors, it's not hard to do if you've got any skill level at all. You know, you can learn to do that, and you can save a bundle. You know?
Hardwood floors are so easy to install.
And yeah, and if you go to...
I mean, you need a nail gun. You can rent the nail gun.
And even to buy them, they're like $200, so you can resell it if you want.
What do you call the nail guns with the pneumatic, with the hammer, and
that's
they've got the 45-degree nail, and they slam the nail in.
And you need an air compressor, but those are cheap, too,
if you
buy one or rent
one. I've got a brad nailer to the corners, because you can't use the... When you get right up to the very first row, you can't use that. You have to have a brad nailer. Eh?
Oh, yeah. What I would do is just drill and then use finishing nails.
Oh, yeah.
Countersink them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
But the pre-finished hardwood floors are so easy to lay. It's the old ones where you had just the wood, and then you had to sand it and then coat it. And that was where the skill was, not in the actual laying of it.
The skill
was in the finishing.
Yeah.
And now they're like no skill. I mean, you know, within 10 minutes, I think I couldn't say anybody, but most people, if you're in reasonably good shape, should be able to lay hardwood floors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially the pre-finished stuff.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
And, you know, anytime you walk by the flooring in Home Depot, they've always got some hardwood on sale. Very cheap. You know, like $250 a square foot, $299 a square foot.
I've seen it as low as like $2. Yeah, $1.99, $2. It's
just
absolutely amazing.
And do it yourself. You save a bundle and you got a beautiful floor.
I mean, you just need a chop saw. You need to. You can rent the little compressor. You could rent the nail gun. And away you go.
Yeah.
As long as you've got a plywood subbase. Or a wood subbase. It doesn't have to be plywood, but a wood subbase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're, you know, if you're on a cement floor, then you can't necessarily. You have to put down sleepers or lay an engineered floor or something, floating floor.
Yeah, I have a friend in Duncan who actually did his own fir floor, you know, the old-fashioned way.
Right.
And so he laid the fir, and then he had to sand it, and then the whatever, Varathane or whatever he used, I'm not sure, but it was very labor-intensive, and it took a long time to dry, and so they couldn't use the room. But, I mean, these pre-finished hardwood floors, it's good to go as soon as you lay it, you know.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
No, I really do like the old fir floors, but yeah, like you said, I mean, especially, I mean, friends of mine have milled the fir tree, cut the mill tree, the trees, the fir trees, milled it, taken it over to Shemana's, had it, you know, dried out in a dryer there, brought it back, and you let it sit in the rooms and tie it all up, sit in the room, put weights on it so it acclimatizes.
Wow,
you know, it takes, you're looking at a big process.
Yeah.
You just buy the stuff out of the box and,
You
know, what I do when I lay the stuff out of the box is I'll lay out all, like the boxes, they only give you like usually 2 or 3 6-foot pieces and they give you a whole whack of the little 1-foot pieces. So underneath the beds or underneath the couch is where you put all little pieces, and then in the main, you know, the main doorway, that's where you save all the nice, big, long 6-foot pieces, and you put those where you'll see them.
Right, right, yeah.
But they're incredibly easy to lay.
Yeah, yeah.
But and the value that they add to your place.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's, it's one of the first things people notice when they walk in.
Hardwood floors, exactly.
Yeah. And they're impressed right away.
Yeah.
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 And a couple other things, you get, you know, stainless steel appliances aren't that expensive, and as people see that, you know, their eyes light up, you know.
Well, stainless steel appliances, you know, 15 years ago were expensive because the only ones you could buy would be a Garland commercial stove, and you'd have to take it and get it certified, or else you'd have to get the building inspectors to come in. They didn't make residential stoves, so you'd have to get, I put one in a house in Calgary, and it took me forever to get it approved because it was a commercial stove, and the stove cost me like $8,000. But I mean, it was this monster, you know, 4-foot wide stove, heavy. And you could only buy Sub-Zero fridges, which were these massive, you know, $10,000-$15,000 fridges. So now they just take the little tiny GE appliances, paint it in, you know, comes in stainless steel, and you put it in, and it's like, you know, they knock off stainless, and they're cheap.
Yeah.
And some of them are pretty good, like the little stoves that you can buy. I mean, they're pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And the big commercial ones are just overkill anyways for a house.
Yeah, I guess depending on the size of your house, if you've got a huge kitchen.
Yeah, no, that was overkill for that house, and it was a nightmare getting it all approved. But now they've just made everything in these little, you know, you just go to the home design center and buy it, and away you go.
I thought the, you know, when you have the new style with the door on the bottom for the freezer.
Right.
I thought that was relatively new, but I recall recently Marilyn Monroe's old house sold. They had it online, it was in the news.
Oh, really?
And they had a picture of her fridge.
Right.
And she had a hot point fridge, which is, it looked like the ones you buy today.
Oh,
it was stainless steel with the door that opens on the bottom.
You know, I sold a house on Salt Spring Island that the guy that discovered Marilyn Monroe owned.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's up on, the house is up by the Fernwood Dock. His name was Conover. He's the guy that owned Wallace Island.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote the book Once Upon an Island. And he actually moved back over to Salt Spring after he sold the island. But he's the guy that actually was in, he was a photographer that worked for Time Life magazine, and he discovered Marilyn Monroe during World War II in a munitions factory.
How about that?
So I sold that house. I didn't sell her house, but I sold that house.
Well, so you actually met him? Or
no, he's long dead.
Oh, okay, he's long
dead. I didn't meet Marilyn either. She's but, you know, my mind, I guess, you know. It's my connection to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's only like, you know, a distant connection, but
hey,
it's a Salt Spring connection to Marilyn Monroe.
There you go.
I don't think she was ever on the island, but anyways, there is that slight little connection.
That's right.
I'm going to play a couple more ads, and I want to thank everyone for listening today to the Radio Real Estate Show. We never really rambled on too much about Salt Spring real estate. It's just a show about real estate and people, how they buy and sell, and, you know, and who the best agent is on Salt Spring Island, Scott Simmons, and, you know, just the various.
That's right.
I'll try to put that in there. But just the various little things about tidbits, you know, real estate tidbits.
A good time to buy if you want to get on Salt Spring. Good time to buy.
Well, it's all, you know, it is right now, I think, because the market is slow, and it's always, you got to be a contrarian to win in real estate.
That's right.
You can't buy at the peak and expect to make money. You got to buy at the lows.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to play a couple more quick ads here, and we'll be...
You're on the sweet spot on your FM dial. It's 107.9 here on the Rocky Got Radio.
If you're thinking of selling your Salt Spring home, call Scott Simmons, Salt Spring Realtor for 1% Realty Vancouver Island. Over the last 2 years, I've sold 18 homes and my clients have saved literally thousands of dollars in commissions. Why pay full commissions? Sell with 1% Realty. Call Scott Simmons at 538-8316.
So we want to thank everyone today for listening to our rambling show about, I don't know, what did we talk about?
It's been everywhere.
And we'll be back here next Tuesday. And don't forget to go on to YouTube, type in uranium ship, and our video, my video will come up of that ship limping past Salt Spring Island. There's kind of like this green haze coming out behind the ship.
Wow.
And you know the funny thing about that video, I took that video of that ship, it won't load onto YouTube. It took me 3 times. I think somehow the uranium got into my camera. I'm not sure it's radioactive now. But it's on YouTube, the ship on its way up to Ladysmith.